Well, on this Labor Day, I'm reminded of the tough start that I had finding that career that would really best fit me. You see, my first job was in an orange juice factory, but I couldn't concentrate, so I got canned. Then I worked in the woods as a lumberjack, but I couldn't hack it, so they gave me the axe. And then I tried my hands at working in a car muffler factory. I found it to be exhausting, so I thought maybe a barber, but I just couldn't cut it. I studied to be a doctor, but of course, if you know me, I didn't have enough patience. I was a masseur, you know, giving massages, but the problem was is that I just rubbed people the wrong way. Imagine that. Me. Next, I was an electrician. I found the work to be shocking and revolting, and in the end, they discharged me. So I took a job as an elevator operator. It has its ups and its downs, but in the end, they gave me the shaft. I was a professional fisherman, and I know Pastor Rick finds that pretty astonishing, considering I can't fish at all. The reason I didn't continue in that is I could never live on my net income. It just wasn't working out for me. Finally, I was working in a shoe factory, but I didn't fit in. They thought I was a loafer, and so they gave me the boot. And here I am today. Aren't you blessed? I'm your pastor. Here I am. Happy Labor Day. Anyway, have you noticed that most people define themselves based on what they do? Somebody will ask, tell me about yourself. And often our response is, well, I'm an engineer, or I'm a pastor, or I'm a realtor. I'm in the technology business, and that's how we are. I squeeze orange juice. That's who I am, right? And this is really how the world looks at it, isn't it? We're defined by what we do. But God doesn't define us by what we do. He looks at us from a completely different perspective. God puts a focus on who we are in Christ. And then he encourages us to express who we are now as new creations in Christ, to express that in what we do. This morning, I want to talk about the gift of being, B-E-I-N-G, the gift of being. Check this out. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, God says to us, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. They're a new being. We find in Galatians 3:26, you are all sons of God. That's our new being, our new identity. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 2, we're going to be hanging out there a little bit this morning. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, God reminds us, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, not by anything that you've done or not by anything that you're doing now or will do in the future. No. It's so that no one can boast. You see, our salvation, our identity, our new reality, our new being as sons and daughters in God's family is not based on what we do, not based on our works. Rather, our identity, our very being is based solely on who we are in Christ. Based solely on what Christ has done for us. It's based solely on His grace, on His work. In fact, God's Word clearly reminds us that it has nothing to do with what we have or haven't done. So who are we? Our identity is rooted and grounded. It is found in Jesus, and only in Jesus. But check this out. Something happens to us as a result of this new identity. As we continue in Ephesians 2, now in verse 10, what happens based on this new identity that is in Christ alone. For we are God's workmanship, again, identity, new being there, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And so we find that being and doing are interrelated, and that there is an order, and this biblical order of being and doing is extremely critical. You see, what we do should always flow out of who we are, not the other way around. Otherwise, if it's the other way around and our being is flowing out of our doing, what happens? Our worth and our identity are determined by achievement and by accomplishments. And when we stop performing, we cease to be valuable. And that's just not the way God created us. And that's not the way His kingdom works. And so we were created to do good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. But all of those good works and all that doing has to flow out of being and being in Christ. So let's start at the beginning. It's a very good place to start. I don't know, my mind just goes those places. It's not in my notes. But anyway, let's start at the beginning. And let's look at all of this from God's perspective. All right? See, the world on Labor Day, they're looking at it from the world's perspective. Let's see what God has to say. The first point, the first question really that we're going to be looking at and answering this morning is, what does it mean to be human? What does it mean to be human? God created us as human beings. And He created us in His image. We can read about that in Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. We're created in the image of God. And as God is tripartite, meaning He's in three persons, He is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we're created the same way. We have three parts to our being. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. The Apostle Paul reminds us of that, points that out. It's found in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. He says, "May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so our being, who we are, consists of our body, consists of our soul, and it consists of our spirit. Now, we're familiar with our bodies, right? We live with our body every single day. We deal with it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's what I deal with every single day. I deal with the physical part of my being. But I want to point this out so that nobody gets confused about this. Often, we will look at our physical bodies and we'll think that it's less than and maybe not even good. That's not true. God created us, body, soul, and spirit. We're made in His image, and what God does, He does right. It's good. He doesn't make mistakes. We live in a broken world, and so because of the brokenness of the world caused by sin, we often feel its effect and see its effect on our physical bodies. But anyway, so we're three parts. We're body, soul, spirit. We understand our physical side, our bodies, but we also have our soul. And our soul is the foundation of our personality, of our feelings, of our desires, of our affections, even of our aversions that we might have. That's all part of our soul. It's the source, really, of all human emotion. A lot of times we use the word soul and heart synonymously. They're really the same thing. Our soul, our heart, that place of our human emotion, that place of being. Something to remember about our hearts, though. We find it in Jeremiah 17. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? So what do we do about that? Well, let's remember, we also have a third part of who we are, created in the image of God. We have our spirit man. We're body, soul, and spirit. And our spirit is the higher part of our inner person. Our soul is part of our inner person. But it's really, when we look at it, you're going to even see this morning as we unpack this from God's word, our soul is the lower part of our inner being. The spirit is really that higher part of our inner being. It's our spirit that perceives and grasps eternal things. Our body doesn't understand that. Our soul and our emotions don't even understand eternal things. but our spirit does. Our spirit has the ability to grasp eternal things and to come alive in eternal things. We would never walk by faith and not by sight if we did not have a spirit. Our spirit was made to walk by faith, while our soul only has the capacity of walking by sight, what we feel. Martin Luther said, quote, that the spirit is the highest and noblest part of man, which qualifies him to lay hold of incomprehensible, eternal, and invisible things. That's our spirit that gives us this capability. No other creation in all of creation has this ability. For we are the only thing in all creation created in the image of God. We're the only thing in all creation that has spirit being. Therefore, we're the only thing in all creation that is able to comprehend those things that are eternal, invisible, and godly. But we have that. It's called our spirit. God created us with that. And He wants us to be alive in our spirit man. But most people, and even most Christians today, they spend the majority of their time and their resources feeding their body and their soul, focusing on the earthly things, whether it's pleasure, but even those things that just make their soul feel comfortable. I mean, we're really good at that in the United States. I would venture to say that most decisions you make in your life are to help your soul feel at peace. Most of the time you spend and the money that you make goes to helping your soul feel comfortable and safe. But the problem is, as we're spending all of these resources and time and energy feeding our bodies and our souls, our spirit is starving. And in some cases, our spirits are actually dying or dead. And so I have a very important question for us this morning. And you know, I always get to go first because the Lord gives these messages to me and I get to process them all week. So I've been there, done that. So I'm going to share this question with y'all, my family here. And that is this: which is the healthier and stronger part of you? Is it your soul or your spirit? Your mind, your will, and your emotions? Is that what's getting all the time and attention? Is that what you're feeding? Or is it your sensitivity and awareness to the Holy Spirit, to God's voice, to His eternal plans? And for every Christian, every born-again believer, our answer has to be to that question, which is more alive and which part of our being are we feeding? Our answer has to be my spirit. I'm feeding my spirit because my spirit is what's eternal. My spirit is what connects me to God. My spirit is what causes me to truly be human and truly be alive. My spirit. What are we feeding? What are we nourishing? What are we tending to? What has our time and our attention? And again, it doesn't mean that our body and our soul aren't important. They are. We have to care for those and steward those as well. But rest assured, we are only fully alive when our spirit is being fed and when our spirit is fully alive. That's one of those statements that I want to repeat. We are only fully alive when our spirit is being fed and when our spirit is fully alive. I read this statement this week in my studies. It says that any dead fish can float downstream, but to swim against the current of our times, we must be spiritually alive. So our spirit man must be healthy, must be well fed, and must be strong. And it can be. It's designed to be. How do we feed it? How do we feed our spirit? How do we come alive in our spirit and thus truly be who God created us to be? Because remember, out of our being comes our doing. They're interrelated. They're connected. So we got to focus on who we be, I guess. That's one way to say it. Not the proper English way, but how do we feed our spirit? Well, our spirit comes alive and stays alive when we spend time with God and allow Him to fill us with Himself. And I want to say there's no other way and there's no shortcut. That is how we feed our spirit, is to spend time with God and allow Him to fill us. That's it. It's really simple, but it's profound and it's important, and you can't just jump over it or think that there's another way. People always try to look for another way. It can't be Jesus plus nothing. It can't be only Jesus. There's got to be another way, and the world keeps coming up with excuses and reasons to try to come up with why you can maybe even just add a little bit of Jesus, but you don't have to go all in with Jesus type thing. It's crazy. It's silly. Why allow the enemy to rob us of eternal life? And why allow the enemy to rob us of being fully alive, which comes through spending time with God? So, what are we feeding? It says in Acts 17:28, in Him, meaning in God, in Christ Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, in Him we live and move and have our being. In God, that's where we really live. That's where we really move and really have our being, really come alive. It's only in Him. It's not in all the other things. It's not in all the other activities. It's not in that TV show or that game that you want to watch later today that makes you come, oh, but it makes me feel so good. I don't know. It might put you to sleep. It might make you not think about those important things of life. That's not making you come alive. It's just kind of like taking some medicine and putting a patch on something. No. We were created to come fully alive, and in God we live and move and have our being. And it's not a one-time decision. And it's not a one-time filling. Well, I asked Christ into my life, so I'm fully alive, and now I just got to get on with my life, right? Wrong. Are you living? Well, in Him you need to be living and moving and having your being. Remember, Paul said, pray continually. It's a constant life of refilling, of refueling. And we feed our spirit by taking in the nutrients of God's Word. We feed our spirits and cause our spirit to come alive through worshiping the Lord, spending time in His presence in worship and through prayer. All of these are acts of time with God. And sometimes we look at these things and we think these are just religious things. Read your Bible, go to church, and pray. And I'm not religious. I have a relationship with God, and I just do life, and God loves me, and all of this kind of stuff. Okay, you're doing it your way. We've talked about how God has given us His Word so that we can come alive. He's given us worship. We enter His courts and His gates with thanksgiving and praise and actually encounter His presence. And in His presence, there is joy, there is life, and that to the full. And in that place of prayer is that place where we actually get to sit and listen to the Lord and get His heart and encounter Him. These are real things. These are tools that God has given us, spiritual tools straight from the throne room of heaven, given to us, His beloved children, so that we might be fully alive in Him, in our spirit. And so it's time with God. It's getting God in us, time with Him. This is how we feed our spirit and truly come alive. This is how we be alive in Christ as new creations. In Proverbs 20, verse 27, God's Word says that the lamp of the Lord searches the what? The spirit of a man. It searches out his inmost being, what really makes him human, who he really is. The lamp of the Lord. And what's the lamp of the Lord? Your word, it says in Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp. It's that lamp to my feet and that light for my path. So God's word is the lamp that guides us and that searches our inner man, that searches our spirit. His word does that. It says in Hebrews 4:12 that for the word of God is living and active. It's just not a bunch of words on a piece of paper. His word is living and active. And it says that it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing what? To dividing soul and spirit. joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. In other scripture, what does it do? It divides the temporal from the eternal. Scripture does that. Scripture takes us out of the temporal living into having the mind of God, which is eternal, which is other than, which is where real life is. And so we got to go after the Word of God and be in it and let it fill us daily. Some of you need 5-6 hours a day of it right now because you're so dry. And I say that and you think I'm joking. I'm really not. I've been there in my life where I needed 5 hours a day for months on end. And by God's grace, He gave me the time to do that. And I know it's not always available, but it's where real life is. And it brought me back to life by spending that time with Him in His Word and letting it divide the temporal from the eternal and causing me to launch into who I really am. My spirit alive in Him. Scripture teaches that our meaning is not found in a quest for self, but in a calling to know God. When you read God's Word, you understand what you're doing is getting to know God. And that's what you were created for. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." How often are you being still and coming alive in your spirit, man, as you just sit with Him and listen to Him and receive from Him? You were created for that. You need that. Your spirit, man, longs for that. It's thirsty. So this is what it means to be alive in our spirit, to have that keen awareness and knowledge and closeness to God. This is being who we are, created to be, and this is being who Christ redeemed us to be. Our spirit being filled and alive in the Holy Spirit. That's exciting. This is what God has for us. This is how He created us. This is your purpose. And something exciting happens, though, when we get this whole being thing. When we start really being who we are with our spirit man alive in God, something happens. Point number two this morning, being, this kind of being, leads to doing. Back to Ephesians 2, verse 10. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And so what happens? If we are being who we are in Christ, making sure our spirit man is well fed and healthy, then we will be those who are doing what? Just the busyness of life? No, we will be those who are doing the supernatural works that God has prepared for us to do. Supernatural things. Those works involve bringing His kingdom, saving the lost, pushing back darkness, ripping the gates of hell off of their hinges, bringing hope to the hopeless, breaking chains, healing the sick, glorifying God in all things, the things which He has prepared in advance for us to do. Those who are being alive in Him, now doing the things that He created us to do. Those supernatural, big, eternal things that change the destiny of people that He came to rescue. And so we notice that being is not passive. It's not simply a label or some theological concept. I'm a Christian. That's who I am. I'm a Christian. No. That's not reality. That's how we simplify it. Rather, what is being? Being born again and alive in Christ. It's intentional. It's purposeful. And it involves actively embracing our new identity daily. And when we truly understand our identity in Christ, when we truly embrace our new being as a child of God, when our spirit man is well fed and nourished and alive, then we will be motivated. And not just motivated, but we're going to get excited to pursue the good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. We'll have the joy of being about our Father's business, being who He created us to be, and doing what He created us to do. In fact, as we look at Scripture, we find that doing is actually a reflection of our being. In James chapter 2, verse 18, James says, "But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds.'" And then he says, "Show me your faith without deeds, and I will," listen to this, "I will show you my faith by what I do." Again, what we do isn't who we are, but what we do is ultimately a reflection of who we are. In that biblical order, it's a reflection of who we are. We understand that we've been given a great commission. How many of you know that? We have a great commission. What? We go, we make disciples. The other part that we sometimes cut off, teaching them to obey all that Christ has commanded. Whew, it's a big one, but He's with us always, you know. He's always with us. He's given us all authority and ability to do that. So we understand we have a great commission as the people of God. But I want to propose something else. We've also been given a cultural commission to be fruitful and to multiply. Remember, didn't God say something about that? When He created us as human beings, as body, soul, and spirit, to be fruitful and to multiply. In other words, human beings made in the image of God have been commissioned to make the world a better place, to improve the world, to improve our culture and our community. And this never going to happen unless we're alive in God. How are we going to be fruitful and multiply the kingdom? How are we going to be fruitful and bring God into every area of our culture, in our society, in our community? We can't do it if our spirit man is grasping for air and thirsty and dying. But we can do it, and we will do it, and it will be natural when our spirit man is fully fed and is alive completely. We will fulfill this cultural commission of being fruitful and multiplying. We've been commissioned to be producers on this earth, not consumers. It's better to give than to receive. We were created in the image of God to create, to give, to produce. And that can only come out of and only be as effective as we are being who He created us to be. Our spirit being alive. Our cultural commission is to multiply or to bring God's kingdom to this earth, to be about our Heavenly Father's business, to do what Jesus did and even greater things. We're to take this world and to make it bigger and better. That's God's plan for us. And I threw that on there because I want us to understand the kind of big things that God has prepared for us to do as His people. We're to be fruitful and multiply. That doesn't only mean having, you know, children. It means to be fruitful in the Spirit and to bring the kingdom and multiply the kingdom and the grace of God and the presence of God and the goodness of God and the love of God in our culture, in our community, and in our world. And that kind of doing, that kind of amazing doing that we are called and equipped to do in Christ will happen when we are being first who He created us to be. And that being happens when our spirit man is alive. And that spirit man can only come alive, but oh, does he come alive when we spend time with God. Continue to be filled and refilled by Him. So, when we talk about things like, you know, it's important for us to be in the Word of God. And you hear me saying things like, hey, read the whole New Testament. You know, sometimes you look at that and go, oh, that just sounds silly. That's impossible. I pray that we get to the point where we hear things like that and we go, well, of course, man, that's exciting. That's a great way to spend all my free time this next week. Or when I encourage us as the pastor here to say, get in the prayer room. You need time with God. We have a place that's available where it's quiet. It's designed for you just to be able to be still and know that He's God. Bring your Bible. Let yourself come alive. Put on some worship music and experience the joy of the Lord. And then just sit with Him. And let Him renew your spirit. This is why it's important. Because it's who you really are designed to be. This is why when we talk about the importance of engaging with each other in community, we heard the testimony from Arvid. He got together with other people. He studied the Word of God. And the Lord began to reveal things about his heart that needed to change as he's doing life with other believers in God's Word and letting the Lord renew his spirit man so that he will come alive. This is real life, what we're talking about here. Who you are is not your job or your career or your position as a parent or a husband or a wife here. Those are labels. Who you are is who you are in Christ. Let's stand up. I just want to pray this over us right now. And if you're comfortable and you want to raise your hands just to, as an act of surrender to the Lord and even as a way of saying, God, I want to receive from you, you can feel free to raise your hands. I'm going to raise mine. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it reminds us who we are and why we're really here. God, I thank you for these times and these moments that are these kind of reset moments in our lives, where we can just get back in track and in sync with real life, and that's life in you. God, I ask that you would work in each one of us, even right now and moving forward throughout this week, this month, and this year, Lord. That we would wake up and the first thing we would be thinking of feeding, the first thing we would be thinking of dressing, the first thing that we would be thinking of grooming would be our spirit man. God, I pray right now for supernatural strategies and for strength and grace to fill us, to be those who walk by the Spirit every moment of every day. God, I thank you that you've created us for this. It's humbling. It's amazing that we can know you in this way and that we can be truly alive in this way. This morning we say you are God. And you are good. And we need you. You're our hope. And you're our life. And so we surrender our bodies to you. Our time to you. Our energy to you. We surrender our souls to you, God. Our emotions, our wants, our needs, our desires, our aversions, our feelings, God. We surrender them to you, God, and lay them at your feet and say, you are God. And Lord, we give you our spirit man, our innermost man. And we say, God, fill us and make us new now and every day, Lord. Thank you, God. We all say what? Amen. Amen. Amen.